T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sure,
Adam,
on.
You know Bo?
Adam, how you doing, man? Good to
What's
see you.
What's going on,
That's
gentlemen?
Fantastic.
How you guys doing?
That's a great tee.
Awesome.
Look at that tee. I love that tee.
You know who loved this? Kevin Love. And I walked up to him. He's a Portland guy, so.
Yeah.
Born in Santa Monica, raised in Portland. He's like, Mount Hood. I'm like, yeah, I've been out there a bunch of times.
It's beautiful from downtown Portland to see that panorama,
yes.
Right?
Portland's one of the best cities in
it's
the country.
Good.
I think
yeah.
a very underrated joint.
Good coffee, good donuts.
Well, I mean, that's half the battle. And it's not that's just it. About voodoo, it's about my joint's Blue Star. That's
Blue
where I
Star.
Go, Blue Star, yeah. And then the best piece of food I've had in Portland is the chicken biscuit at Tasty and Sons.
That's
if you guys
fantastic.
Ever get a chance,
never even
to
heard of it.
What's the coffee? Stumptown.
Is that a
Stumptown
coffee?
Stumptown coffee, so good. The original cold brew.
Oh, you've been everywhere.
I'm a man of the world.
You really have been everywhere. Adam Amin has been everywhere.
Bo is a man of the people too. We're not living lavish lifestyles like you are.
No.
Bo, come on. Now.
Oh yeah, me. Yeah,
no, I'm just busting you because last time I was here.
Yeah.
And I came down. You were out, man.
I was having vertigo.
You were taking.
Have you ever had vertigo?
Time. It's brutal. I hear.
It's the worst.
Oh man.
I've never had it in my life. I got it last summer, and now I've got it twice in a month.
That's
it's freaking
good.
Me out.
That's
I got
not
to
good.
See a specialist. But anyway, I'm better today.
Good
to see you, Adam.
Good to see you too, pal.
Adam's on the call on ESPN Radio of the game. Do you wear like cool T-shirts to try to like. Connect with a player. Like,
no,
that would be a smart move to try to like get in with a player.
I didn't even think about it. I didn't know who we were interviewing until I walked in to the Cavs facility today. I thought we were actually going to interview George Hill. And
okay.
If I was going to interview George Hill, I haven't really sat down one-on-one with him. George Hill broke my heart when I was a freshman at Valpo because he was at IUPUI. My first 2 years at Valpo,
right.
They were still in the mid-con.
Okay.
So IUPUI was there. I'm pretty sure Ron Hunter was still his head coach in college. And Valpo was up 21 points in the second half. And George single-handedly torched Valpo's defense at like 6 3 pointers. Burnham came all the way back. They beat Valpo. That was the first and only time to this day I ever sat in the student section, and they were shooting at the rim that we were sitting behind in the second half. So we just firsthand look at George Hill crushing Valpo basketball. And then Ron Hunter,
have
of course, came out of the
that?
Floor. No,
like
I,
how much you?
I didn't.
Oh,
I didn't
you
get
wanted,
I wanted to tell him
right,
that today.
Right.
Had I actually interviewed him today, that's what I would have said to him. I was like, George, you know, you broke my heart as a kid.
Was there a Drew involved at Valpo at
both
that point?
Them.
There had
both
to be both.
Homer was still the head coach at the time. This was 2006.
Okay.
So he was Homer was still the head coach, and Bryce was one of the assistant coaches at
okay.
the time.
Okay.
Bryce took over, I think, 2012.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, 2011, 2012, and then obviously bounced last year and took over at Vanderbilt and or a couple years ago. And doing a good job at Vandy now, and Homer's doing well. So
how you're doing these games? We've been treated to a lot of blowouts. I mean, it's
yeah.
just in both
so
sides,
many playoff blowouts.
Both
yeah.
sides. As
terrible.
As you're doing these, obviously that's a tough spot as a broadcaster,
sure.
obviously. But do you have a theory as to why this is happening?
You know, I wish I had one. And it's very strange because the level of inconsistency that we're seeing from teams night in and night out, mostly at the defensive end of the floor, you're going to get nights where Steph Curry goes off,
sure.
James Harden goes off, and then nights where the guys around him maybe are a little bit colder. That's understandable. That happens everywhere in basketball. But to see the level of defensive inconsistency is what's surprising, and those are good defensive teams.
Mm-hmm.
Houston was a top six team in the NBA in defensive efficiency.
Right.
We know that when Golden State is rolling, typically it's off their defense, deflections, hustle points, steals, all that stuff. They're winning those and then running in transition. Same thing with these teams here, when I know Cleveland's not a great defensive team top to bottom, one of the worst overall in the regular season, but Kyle Korver was telling us they play a style of defense that's not really maintainable. It's not sustainable
right.
in the regular season where they're doubling a lot and really blitzing a whole lot. It's sustainable in the playoffs, and when Cleveland's been good in the playoffs, they've been good defensively. So the
yeah.
level of inconsistency I've seen, and let's talk about the best defensive team in the league, Boston. I mean, to be at home, to guard the three-point line as well as anybody has in the NBA all year long, right up there with a team like Golden State, and then just lack it completely, missing switches, bad communication.
Yeah.
I'm shocked at the level of inconsistency on defense that we're seeing right
it,
now.
It really shows you the difference, like the regular season game versus the playoff
game. Yeah.
It's so different because
sport,
of preparation,
yeah.
right? I mean, it's to some degree in the other sports too, but I think more noticeable than anything else in basketball because
yeah.
You know, in basketball, there are nights where guys almost take a day off. Yeah, back to back. I mean, you're not preparing the same way.
No, you
and
can't.
The focus, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
you can't.
It is amazing. And you talk about Boston the whole postseason. Amazing at home and terrible on the road.
Yeah, and I remember sitting here with Dustin last month when we were doing game two of the Indiana-Cleveland series. And here's the thing. I feel like, and I might be a Ty Lue apologist, and I feel like he gets scapegoated a little bit, and that's going to happen
in
your own town.
Dustin kills him.
And I was like, listen, he's a lot better at this, at the adjustment thing, than you realize. I understand it's hard to coach a LeBron-led team because LeBron still has the best feel. He's the best player on the planet. He's a top five, maybe top three player all time. He's going to have a better feel, at least he thinks, for what's going on the floor. And Ty Lue's still a young head coach, 41 years old, second full season, all that. But I think Ty Lue gets scapegoated a little bit because I think he's pretty good at making adjustments. And I've seen that over the course of the last 2 years in second-round series. We saw it in the first round, making the adjustment maybe a little late, but they made the adjustment to go to Thompson, and it helped that the guys got involved. They figured it out in game two against Toronto with Love and Valanciunas, and they exploited that for the next three games. And I think we saw it in game three, just the immediate actions that we see on the offensive end. Let's quicken the pace so we give LeBron a little bit more time to operate in the front court on offense. I think he's good at that.
Yeah.
Brad Stevens is really good at that. So that's why I do expect a more competitive game tonight. But that's where the money's made in this league
during the
playoffs. It's adjustment game to game.
But, you know, Bo just brought this up right before you got here, and it's a good point that, like, for all the good of playing with LeBron, there is some downside, right?
Sure.
Like, Bo brought a point. You never know your role for sure. A lot of guys, you know, it's inconsistent from game to game. How much does he let you coach to some degree with any coach he's been with? Because he's never been with a Popovich or a coach of that stature. And that's some of the pressures of playing with LeBron, and it does affect guys at times.
I think it does, and that's what's nice about role players like J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver.
Yeah.
Be a 3-and-D guy.
It's easier for them.
It's easier for guys like that. Make three-pointers. Give me good defense. Don't turn the ball over. Like Kevin Love, it's interesting to see the development of Kevin Love and the evolution of him. Like, what role is he going to play from series to series?
Right. Game to game.
Game to game sometimes. Sure, sure. That's understandable. You look in that Toronto series, I mean, like I said, in game two, they figured it out. Kevin Love is quicker than Jonas Valanciunas. We'll give up a couple of touches at the other end, but remember, it's still Jonas Valanciunas. Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan need to have the ball in their hands for them to be effective, so Jonas isn't really going to kill you that much unless he's banging away on the glass, which was remedied when Thompson came in and entered that series. But on the offensive end, we'll take that matchup all day. Bring him out to the perimeter, go slip the screen, send him backdoor, and Kevin Love was loving life, especially in that Game 2 and Game 3 stretch against Toronto. So I feel like that's a role that suits him. But can he do that here? Not really. Al Horford's a really good perimeter defender, but when you get Aaron Baines on you and now he's covering you out on the perimeter because Thompson's in the game, now that opens things up for Kevin Love. Not doing a whole lot in the post just yet until the other night, but you have to learn and you have to adjust, and that's hard. It's not an easy thing about playing with LeBron. There's a lot of benefits that come to it, and I imagine the pros outweigh the cons.
Sure.
But there are some cons to it that you have to learn to adjust to.
Real quick, sorry to cut you off, but what are we going to do about Aaron Baines' man bun?
I hate it.
Let it thrive. It's terrible.
He's a good villain. It's perfect.
you guys want a scapegoat?
Embrace it.
Man bun. Aaron Baines' man bun.
I hate the man
bun. Embrace
it. I hate
absolutely
it.
It's so funny to me. It's the most polarizing haircut, and understandably so. And I'm not saying I'm a fan of it, but I like Aaron Baines. This guy's a good guy. So.
Who's the guy? Wait, there's also the guy. I think he's on the Nets. The guy with the crazy hair.
That's Elfrid Payton. He plays for.
Well, he cut his hair.
But
he
cut his hair.
Phoenix,
the other day.
Right?
He's got to go
sorry.
On this way.
You used Phoenix,
for,
yes.
Yeah, he played like South Louisiana or something like that.
Cut his hair.
He cut it off.
The whole thing. It was like, you know, like the weekend. He's got that. It was like more like out than the weekend. He like shaved the whole thing off. Down to buzz. Everybody was shocking. Everybody was shocked by it. It was legitimately
so
jarring to see it.
We're three games into this thing, man.
Yep.
And one thing about the NBA is that we really don't have upsets because it's a best of seven.
Yeah.
So the best teams win. I mean, that's one thing about the league, opposed to other sports, where you can have a goalie gets hot in the NHL or in football, anything can happen. Baseball, good pitching.
It's a little fluky in those.
NCAA basketball, anything can happen.
Yep.
In this sport, the best team wins, and that's been proven that way forever. We're three games into this thing. Who's the best team to you from your vantage point?
I still think Boston's the better collective group, but when Cleveland's at its best, their positions can trump Boston's position players. Like when you line them up 1-to-1, 2-to-2, 3-to-3, when Cleveland's at its best, I think they compete, and I think they can win a lot of those matchups. Like when Tristan Thompson's playing at his absolute best, he shuts down Al Horford. And Al Horford's as important of a player to his team as anybody that's remaining in the playoffs. I think of him a little bit like Draymond Green with the Warriors. Green makes a lot of that stuff go. He's going to take advantage of the opportunities that he gets because of the other guys around him, but he exploits the bad matchups with his passing, with his ability to get guys in a position. Al Horford does that really well. So when Thompson's at his best defensively, he takes that away. I think Kevin Love is better than Aaron Baines just as a skill player. When he's at his best, he can win that matchup. Whoever's on LeBron, he's going to take them out.
Right.
And listen,
right.
Jaylen Brown's done a really good job for a couple of games. Marcus Morris has done a really good job at both ends of the floor in a couple of games. But I'd take LeBron over either one of them at any point. Maybe George Hill can get exploited like we saw with Rozier in the first two games of the series. J.R. Smith had some issues. But when those guys shoot well, they're harder guards in the defensive end. So I think collectively, consistently, Boston's the better group. I think Cleveland at its best is more talented, and I think the veteran experience has a lot to do with what we saw in Game 3, and I do think that's going to help Cleveland to try to win tonight. And frankly, if they win tonight, I have a good feeling for Cleveland to win this series.
Here's the most important question. Are you a Brockmire fan?
I love Brockmire.
How good is that? You watch that, Bo?
I have seen it. I haven't watched it in totality, but I have seen a little, yeah.
Hank Azaria does it. I mean, hilarious. It was off a sketch they did on, like, Funny or Die.
I did not know that.
I swear, you got to find this thing. It's like 7-8 years ago.
Okay.
They did a Funny or Die sketch. Rich Eisen, Joe Buck, Dan Patrick were all in it. And it was the same story, like, you know, he's a broadcaster, his wife cheats on him, and he starts going off on TV.
Yeah.
And they're basically following up with him, like, what is he doing now? He's he's like in a men's room stall doing play-by-play of that. It's like, this session is brought to you by Antonio's Pizzeria, and it's like, the jokes are really funny, and we were all like, huh. That's pretty funny. This is a good character. And then, like, 5 years down the line, IFC's like, yeah, let's make this into a show, and it's been great.
And the first – Joe Buck was in the first season for a couple episodes.
Yeah, he was.
Do you know Joe?
I know. I've met Joe many, many times.
I was annoyed at Joe, and I respect him. Obviously, he's great at what he
16?
Does.
16?
But I
16 World Series? Is that
no,
what you're thinking
of? No, because I'm a Cubs fan.
Well, and I know. You and me share that.
But I was annoyed at him because he was on Stern, and basically he was making fun of people who do what we do.
Oh, okay.
And I thought that was a little obnoxious.
Yeah.
Because he groups everybody together. Not that there aren't people who do what we do who are jerks and act like idiots and whatever.
I'm sure you and I could rattle off a few of them over a couple
no
of beers.
Doubt.
I don't doubt that for a second.
But he basically was condemning all sports talk radio as all of them are idiots. And I thought that was uncool.
Hell, Joe Buck probably, and to no fault of his own, I like Joe as a broadcaster and
him
as a guy.
Sure.
But I'm sure people look at him because he's the guy. You know, he does the Super Bowl, he does the World Series. People probably look at him, and if they don't like him, they don't like any announcer because now he's the representative for all of us.
All announcers are biased. You probably get that too, right?
I get that
it's
more.
It's so crazy.
It's nuts. I get it in college football so much.
Oh, yeah, because
the passion of fan bases in college football, they're just – I mean, if their team's losing, they're going to be salty about something. And then we get – my favorite times are when we get to – get the tweets. I'll take the screenshot of the USC fan, and then 10 minutes later, the Washington State fan who's like, oh, you're biased towards the Trojans. Right. Oh, no, you're biased towards the Cougars. And I'm like, you guys pick one, and you tell me who I'm more biased towards.
I always say to fans, you're biased. He's not, whoever or she's not. Whoever you're talking about, why would you be? You don't care.
You know what's biased?
Yeah.
The scoreboard.
At the end
of the game, the scoreboard's biased. Right, These don't end in ties.
Yeah, right.
There's no such thing as fair and balanced because the game's not fair and balanced.
Right. Everybody hated Van Gundy and Mark Jackson for games 1 and 2. In game 3, you loved them.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're best, of course.
Everybody just – you'd call in the game. You just want a good game.
You
want to know what I'm biased towards? The best story, the craziest finish, and the most drama possible.
Yeah, you want a buzzer beater.
These are hard. How have you managed these blowouts? Because I hear Mark they're trying. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But these games have been over, boys. In the third quarter, done.
It's probably easier on radio, in all honesty, than it is on TV. Because at least, I mean, we still have to describe what's going on.
That's true.
We get to the last 5 minutes. We'll do a plug of game three. You know, like on Saturday night, we're plugging game 3 of the other series and things like that. So, We find ways to mix it up a little bit.
You still have to paint the picture.
Still have to
on radio.
Paint the picture.
That's
on radio.
A big difference.
That is a big difference. So at least the focus is still on that.
We're talking with Adam Amin at ESPN. Does a great job. He's one of the best in the biz, and we're not just saying that because he's here, right?
You might leave, but you may lie.
I like hearing it while I'm sitting here. That's okay.
I think you do a great job,
Thanks, brother.
Love that you can do every sport, and your schedule's insane, and you're living this awesome life. What's your next baseball game?
I'm leaving tomorrow morning to go to L.A. Yeah. I've got Dodgers-Rockies on ESPN tomorrow night. Dodgers are finally playing a little
bit better. Tomorrow night?
I'll be in L.A., and then I'm jumping. As soon as the game's over, I'm going to LAX, jumping on a red eye had to Boston for Game 5 on Wednesday night. So it's just one of those stretches, man.
Do you have that's somebody incredible. That's like prepping some stuff for you, Colorado Dodgers?
Not really. I just kind of, I mean, we get our we get the same info that we get for any other broadcast little packet and things like that of things that our graphics people, our producer wants to look at. But a lot of it is just in the few days leading up to it. You know, it's helpful doing a series for basketball. I know what's happened. I know, you know, who we're going to talk to, all that stuff. So it makes it a lot easier to jam something in.
So you do that game tomorrow and then go back to Boston for Game 5.
Go back to Boston for Game 5. So three games.
That's they tough, couldn't man. Find you an East Coast game.
Three
man.
Games, three nights, three different cities, and I couldn't be happier.
It's awesome,
it,
though.
That's fantastic.
What a life.
Yeah.
That's great. All right, Adam. Well, I'll tell you. You said you think if the Cavs win tonight, they're going to win the series?
I have a feeling that tonight's the crux of the series. If Boston wins tonight, I feel like it's over. That I don't think they're going to blow a 3-1 lead. I think they're consistent enough. And if Cleveland wins tonight, that's a young team on the other side that's worried about
can we
maintain that home court advantage, because LeBron's going to go in with a head of steam, and I think the other guys, if they have a good night tonight, they're going to feel good going back to Boston.
It's a confidence thing for
very
both
much,
teams.
Yeah, very much
like,
so.
The Cav role players, if they get a few shots going, then all of a sudden they're 10 feet tall and bulletproof.
Yep.
And these Celtics guys, they're young pups, man. Like, confidence can be broken quickly if they don't come out hot.
Yep.
I mean, I think if the Cavs – if this is a close game, it could be dicey. If the Cavs get a big lead early in this thing, you feel like it could really waterfall.
Yeah, I think this has been a first-quarter series.
And I know
Cleveland had the lead in game two and gave it up, but this has been a first-quarter series. If teams start out hot, they get on a roll. Yeah. Yeah, that's been the MO for these teams so far.
Adam, we appreciate you stopping by.
Anytime, boys.
Thanks, buddy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.